working with the local church to take the hope of Christ to every student in the United States. This is First Priority. Now here are your hosts, Steve Chirico and Brad Skelling.
Welcome back to the podcast, everybody. My name is Steve Chirico. This is Brad Skelling.
Afternoon, Steve. Good morning.
Afternoon, morning to you. Coming live from the First Priority of America podcast studio.
Nice.
How do you like that?
I do like that. We need to name it. We should get like a sponsorship.
Ooh, I like that idea.
Yeah.
Sponsored by San Antonio, Texas.
I thought it was going to go NBA baseball or pre-Paul Baseball Association.
Yeah, there you go. You know that too. I can live with that.
You can live with that?
I can.
All right. If you're in South Nashville, play ball.
They're looking for sponsorship from you.
Oh, the other way around.
It's the other way around.
One nonprofit looking for sponsorship from another. Yeah. Yes.
We get that.
This could go well.
It does.
Would you like to exchange $500 bills and go from there?
Rubber checks that we just rip up when we're done.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yep.
Those of you who don't know what a rubber check is, that's a term for those of us who are over the age of 50.
It's when I write a $50,000 check and you can bounce it all the way to the bank.
Exactly. Write a check? What?
Exactly.
You do what?
Checks? Yeah, from those of you from the 90s.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. What's going on, man?
Well, we got a lot going on. It is spring.
Yeah.
It's getting nicer outside and there are a lot of things coming. As of the airing of this podcast, spring meeting.
Come on.
Registrations are open.
Open, baby.
So go to firstparty.club, click on the events. Find the spring meetings, register for yours. We've got three of them.
Okay, go ahead.
Right. So the first two, one of them's in South Florida, Miami. You want to go really sunny. Second week of May, might get this all off. We'll be in South Florida.
South Florida.
The first week in May, we'll be in Decatur, Alabama.
Yep.
Both of those will be very relational. We're going to evaluate the year, have a lot of intentional conversations.
Yep.
We're going to talk about the new Epic materials coming down. We'll talk about the app and just what went well this year and what do we want to do for next year.
It's a packed 24 hours.
It is a packed 24 hours, very intentional conversations with each other, whoever shows up. So whether you're a director, a coordinator, a club coach, teacher sponsor, you can make it out for 24 hours. Come join us for one of those.
Sweet.
The third one is for those of you who are operating in a traction model. We use traction in our operating system for goals and objectives and what do we want to do this year. If you're in that, the third one is in Nashville, the third week of May.
Sweet.
I don't actually believe that is on the registration.
It is not.
Because it is so specific.
It's a buy invite only. Be looking for your invite.
Well, Here's my invite.
Okay,
you are invited. If you run traction in your club, in your network, in your chapter, in your district, wherever that is, this is the one for you because we're going to sit down and walk through that very specific agenda that is an annual meeting in the traction, which largely is the same thing. We're just more relaxed with it in the first two meetings and more intentional with it in the last one.
So if somebody shows up to Florida and shows up to Nashville because that's okay with you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Again, it's highly relational.
Okay.
So,
cool.
Come hang out with us in both. But the third one that's here in Nashville is going to be super intentional. We're going to set an annual goal. We're going to have level 10 meetings this year. We do all the things and walk through it. So
not level six, not level four,
six.
Level 10.
They are 10 star.
Level 10. What else you got? There's a lot going on. What's next?
There's a lot. I don't remember what is all next.
Well, the next one is talking about the email that came out with all of the Easter gear for Invite Week.
Yeah, we're doing a big Easter week push. So Invite Week push leading into Easter. Mm-hmm. We've got some t-shirts on the store for that.
Nice.
So click on new arrivals. If you go to the store on firstparty.club. It's just the First Priority logo with some slogans on there for the Invite Week push. It'd be great just for students to be able to plug that, advertise that, just trying to line things up and share the gospel with more students, right? Good. Right. We're not in the merchandise business. I want to stay out of the merchandise business.
Yep.
But if we can put a t-shirt on a kid.
Then we're rocking. Let's
go. And that gets them to invite a friend to Easter week push. Let's do it.
Agreed.
Right?
Totally.
So we're also... Can I add one more thing to that?
Yeah, good.
Doing a t-shirt competition for our fall club t-shirt that we're going to have on the store.
I need to write this date down because you just did three announcements.
I know, right?
One podcast.
There's a lot going on. Yeah. Grace and Tayana and Christina and Susan and Janice have been busy.
They're killing it.
They are. And so there's a lot going on behind the scenes. Again, just doing more proactive, intentional things to try to get more students to hear the gospel.
Now, I interrupted the kind of 90 second. Can you give us 30 seconds about the t-shirt contest? What's going on with that? What's that for?
It is for students to design our t-shirt this fall.
So the fall shirt. Cool.
There is a PDF out there. I can't tell you where to find it right now, but I can get that information. We can talk about that more next
week. Thanks to
Tayana,
it'll actually be in the links in the actual description of
the podcast. Well, it's also on the socials. So FP of America, I'm pretty sure I saw it out on the socials already.
Okay.
So you can click on that. There's a PDF. You can draw it. You can, you know, InDesign it. You can Photoshop it. You can
Canva,
do whatever.
Maybe. Canva. All you Canva users, it. Let's go. Shout out.
You can submit that back per those instructions that you'll see on social media or in the email.
Yep.
And there's going to be a competition in April, I believe. So this month is the design. Next month is the competition to see who gets the most votes.
Nice.
And we'll print some shirts.
Come on, man.
It'll be fun.
Gosh, that's good.
We're trying to have fun.
That's good.
Yeah. Get everybody involved.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where are we today? What are we talking about?
We are in the month of our essential networks. Every month we're talking about a different network on the podcast. This month we're talking about the business community and what role they play. Yep. And I'm excited to have some good people on.
In the future about it.
Some great friends of First Priority talking business community.
You're just loading it up, but you're not going to say any names. You're just loading it up. That's
business
awesome.
People are busy. And there are never any guarantees.
That's
so
right.
Until we record those interviews, I don't want to throw Joseph That's Daly's
right.
name out there.
That's right. Very good. Never heard of him. Birmingham, Alabama. Never heard of him.
Right?
All right. So let's talk a little bit.
So
I know exactly. We may not talk about a whole lot.
We will not. We're going to laugh a lot.
He's kind of a human cartoon, wouldn't you say?
Oh, goodness. Yes.
Oh, yes.
There's a caricature of him all over the place.
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's go back through the networks real quick. You want to go back through them?
We should.
Just for the sake of recap.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
Students.
Yep.
They're the leaders of the club, presidents of our organization.
Very good.
Teachers. They sponsor the club.
They're the room. They're the referee.
Making sure we are following the legal guidelines of the school and of the Equal Access Act.
Exactly. Coaches.
Typically youth pastors.
Not so much anymore.
Great
kind
uncles,
of a little bit all of
parents,
it. Exactly.
Grandpas and grandmas.
A little bit of anybody who's got a burden to serve students that want to preach the gospel.
Correct. Yeah. Yep. But the coach that helps the students succeed, making sure they know how to speak publicly or run a meeting well. And
they do not take the helmet off the kid and try to put it on themselves and
Correct.
Run the, you know, 4L block left, play down, screen right. They don't do it.
That's... Adults in a football game on a Friday night would look silly.
Ooh,
and
gosh.
So does that with First Priority.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What else? Who else?
Parents.
Yep.
The fans in the stands cheering them on, because when Susie gets asked to share her testimony in a club, one of the first people that she often goes back to is... As a parent, to say, hey, can you help me with this?
Yeah.
Right?
And didn't we just talk about the parent network?
We did.
So if you've not been following the vidcast of the podcast, that's a great one to go back to.
Mm-hmm.
Really good conversation about how parents feel like they own the campus, own the club.
Yep.
And they do.
Yep.
It's their school.
Yeah.
And so really empowering them to see it that way.
And we talked about the youth pastor as well. Last month was youth pastor.
Oh, that's right. We did. Yep. We had Larry on. That's good.
Larry so there's two of them. And Ryan.
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's very good.
All right, so now today we are on?
The business community.
All right.
The business leader network that we've got.
So let's start with your favorite. Let's start with the why. Why the business leaders?
Well, it's the reason First Priority's still here.
I would agree.
I mean, just make it really simple, right? Let's not make it complicated.
Yep.
The first Priority network was started in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Six churches. 20 churches, six clubs, something. There's some numbers out there, right?
There are somewhere, yep.
Yep, but those clubs aren't in existence anymore.
Yep.
Right? But Birmingham, Alabama,
yep.
is still around because there were seven guys who were business community leaders in Birmingham who formed a board and have said for 25 years now. They're celebrating 25 years in April as the big banquet at...
Okay. Got it. I don't know.
The big church.
I don't know.
I'm thinking Muscle Shoals right now, and that's not in Birmingham. That's a different town.
Yep.
But they're celebrating their 25 years, and those same five or seven guys, they're not all on the board anymore.
Nope.
But they are still supporting First Priority. That board is still there.
Yep.
And they've gone from Benny to Mark to Greg to Matt to Greg to Debbie, because
as directors,
as directors of First Priority in Birmingham, because they are there networking the people, networking, raising funds, holding these events to make sure that the director, the staff still exists and the movement still continues.
Well, and I'll even make it more simple than that, if you don't mind.
Yes, please.
One word, transformation.
Yeah.
They have a burden for their city and know that this isn't fair, but it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Pastors come and go in that world of being a full-time ministry member. They typically come and go.
Yep.
And teachers often come and go. They switch school systems.
Mm-hmm.
But they own businesses that they want to last 20, 30, 40, even have legacy and give on to their grandchildren, right? And they are thinking about the transformation. They understand the crisis in their community.
Yep.
They understand the need for the gospel to bring transformation.
Yep.
And so they are long tenured viewers of what it looks like to buy into a community.
They are, because their business doesn't move.
Correct.
Right? Pastors, youth pastors, we're not throwing them under the bus. It's just the reality of the situation, right? They have a job.
Yep.
And when that job no longer exists in that community, they go to the next community.
Correct.
And that's okay, right? Yep. That's there's 100%. Nothing wrong with that. But
there's
that
growth there for them as well, correct?
Longevity of the guy who owns the dry cleaners or the Ford dealership or the McDonald's or whatever, they are in that community generationally, passing that down to their children. And they know where to go, right?
Well, and the business leader understands, because they understand ethics and they understand state and federal law, that they can't just show up on the campus and ring a bell and say, hey, I know the only thing that's going to fix this is Jesus. And so they begin to dig in and realize, oh, there's a process, there's a plan.
Yep.
It's legal, right? And so all of a sudden the First Priority Club becomes very enticing to them.
Yeah.
The other part that they don't have a lot of, if they're a business leader or a high capacity leader in a community, is they don't have a lot of time.
Yeah.
And so the ability to equip people, they understand multiplication versus addition.
Yep.
Right. If I'm just going from school to school to school and telling the story, or if I empower students to do so. And so that's one of the reasons why I think business leaders love the First Priority model. Is because it is equipping students in a multiplication form, not an addition form.
Yeah.
Which is huge.
It is. It's big time.
We've talked about why a city needs First Priority, right? Why the business leaders feel a need for students to be equipped with the gospel.
Yep.
But there's the flip of that as well,
mm-hmm.
which is the reality that the clubs also need the business leaders. And you hit it from a high level, right? You hit it from a longevity and a tenure and all that. But what are the roles that a business leader can play inside a club model?
Yeah. Well, you mentioned that business leaders are often busy, right? They've got more to do than they have time to do. And they have to pick and choose what they give their effort to, right? That 20% that does 80% of their work, they have to stay very focused with their time.
Yep.
And so it is one of those things where we've in the past said, well, let's try to do a monthly business, the First Priority Business Network, right? You know, like a, I don't know if it'd become another Kiwanis Club kind of a thing, right? Or, you know, those ideals start
another
in our
gathering.
Head, another gathering, but in reality, they don't need another gathering. There's a lot of them out there. So, you know, their role becomes most often either a board, an executive board, if they're running a 501c3 chapter, or an advisory board in the districts.
Yep.
You know, we're using the national 501c3 based out of Nashville, but Fort Worth still has an advisory board of business people, community leaders that they don't need to meet all the time. They meet quarterly, monthly when necessary, and advise our directors and the staff there on how to continue to navigate. Again, going back to the Nehemiah story, right? Nehemiah had a call on his life and a vision to rebuild the spiritual walls, but it was the king who provided him what he needed to get there, right? You're going to need this note and these resources and this information in order to travel the land and get through, right, with this stuff. Because the king knew that if Nehemiah started going on this journey without this note, he would have to give probably 20% to the king in the land in between where he was in Jerusalem, right?
Yeah. He wouldn't have enough to build the wall.
Doesn't say that in the Bible, but
you
need this note. Well, the note was for a reason, right? This letter. And he knew he could navigate all of that. And that's what those business people do on the boards, whether it's an executive or an advisory, is help the staff navigate those things.
It's really good. And you, just for context of the content you just talked about, for those of you that may be new to the podcast or new to First Priority, one of the places that we go often, right? We go to John 17 often. Mm-hmm. We go to Nehemiah 1-4 often because it talks about Nehemiah's journey. And as you just said, the need for Nehemiah to go to the local business leader, the king of the community, if you will. He was a king, but we're using that in a broad term for business leaders.
Yep.
Go to the king and say, hey, these are things that I'm burdened for.
Yeah.
And would you help me in this process? And the king caught the burden because the first party leader went to the business leader and said, hey, I need you to be a part of this. I need you to buy in. Man, I got a lot of things going on. What's this about? Oh, this is about the walls of our city, the spiritual walls. This is about the kids in our city.
Yep.
Oh, well, now I'm in because that's my future and that's my grandchildren, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. The advice side, the other part I think about is I think about first party clubs needing some of that gray-haired wisdom.
Yeah.
Right? Needing those moments where they run into somebody who doesn't want them on their campus. Right? They run in, and again, being a grandparent, right?
Yep.
And being able to go back to that grandparent and say, how do I approach leadership in my school and have this conversation where I'm not saying, we have the right to be here. Tayana, I did not slam. Did you see that? I didn't slam.
That was good.
Right? But we have the right to be here because they legally do.
They do.
How do I approach my authority figures? And so one of the greatest places to do that is to find another person who's under authority, who has people under authority under them.
Yeah.
Right? And so you go to, you have that level of wisdom. The mentoring. Thank you. That's a great way to put that. So there's another role that First Party needs business leaders to play in order for the clubs to be healthy and to have longevity.
Yeah. Well, and I'm thinking about my days of raising funds for some reason back in 2007 when I raised funds to come on staff. My dad was a business leader in Sioux Center, Iowa, right? And I had gone to the dentist my whole life. My parents made me, and it was a good thing,
good thing, I guess. Yep.
But I didn't ever talk to my dentist really about anything, but my dad knew that he had a passion for church networking, for church unity. And so I ended up sitting with my dentist raising funds for that. Well, he knew the landscape of the churches because his passion was church unity.
Uniting the church,
and so he'd been doing business in town for 30 years and knew who the pastors were, who the elders were, who the key influencers were in all those churches, and said, hey, here's some things to think about. And you talk about mentorship, mentoring me as a new staff member, right? And knew the landscape of that small town in Iowa. And helped navigate that. And he also then said, well, you need to go talk to this guy. He also has a passion for it. All of a sudden, I'm sitting in CEO's offices of major corporations because they have a passion for the gospel and for church unity. And who I didn't ever, I've been in youth ministry for 10 years and had no idea there's business Christian business owners that are sitting there talking about this on a different level than the pastors were in their community.
And those are like, doors that you walked through.
Correct.
That you, had you sent an email to the organization and said, I've got this great idea.
Never.
They would have ignored you.
Would have ignored me.
One text, one phone call, and all of a sudden the business leaders open up because there's trust there.
Yeah.
There's time and tenure and trust built there.
My dad in that situation had gone before me for 35 years doing business in the community. And that opened some doors for me to get in there and not just raise money, but gain that mentorship.
You know, you remind me of a story. So I was on a call yesterday with a potential board member for Nashville. And he lives almost an hour out of town. It's our southernmost area that we serve countywise.
Yep.
And he is the owner of a pretty major corporation. I'd have never gotten on the phone with this guy.
Right.
But, you know, there you go. Somebody says, hey, you need to talk to him.
Yep.
Well, he had happened to already, because he was doing his due diligence, he had already gone to a club. So he gets on the phone and we, man, thanks for showing up at the club. That's super cool. He's like, I loved it. I have a heart for it. And he begins to go through his 45 years of owning this private business in town.
Yep.
And he, at one point, I would say 15 minutes of the conversation, as we're kind of sharing our stories about how the gospel has affected our life, he says, I want to admit, I don't know how an old, almost 70 year old has any influence on this generation. And I said, well, let me stop you. Do you love your grandchildren? Well, I adore them. I do anything for them. Great. Do your grandchildren love you? Like, do they skip your kids to get to you? Well, yeah. You can never forget the natural attraction between you as a tenured grandparent And that is that child, right? You just can't do it. And so a lot of these business leaders that have a legacy mindset, we can't undersell the value that when they walk in the room, this is still the fatherless generation.
Yeah.
They're still looking for daddies and granddaddies, mommies and grandmommies in places that maybe you and I didn't experience because we had that in our home, right?
But
there's this great fatherless generation that I have to say to business leaders sometimes, hey, don't sell yourself short because you think you have nothing to say to them.
Yeah.
Your mere presence and showing up is going to, there's going to be lots of wonder and question on their end. Like, why are you here?
Yeah.
Why would you, with what you do? Because the minute they find out you're a business owner or you own a place that they go grocery shopping at, which was his case, right? They're going to find a connection. Plus the fact they're dying for that grandparent and parent connection. Mm-hmm. It's again, the fatherless generation. So I love it when business leaders don't leave themselves just in the, let me give you wisdom.
Yeah.
But they also find moments of like, oh, let me just come and be a presence.
Right.
Because God does really cool things on the club mm-hmm. up with that, especially when they're invited in.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm thinking about Chuck over in Kentucky too. So I'm going to talk about a First Party of America perspective for a moment. So we continually have new people coming on. Chuck is up there working with Tim.
Yep.
Starting another county and then starting two more counties, has three counties going up there, 13 schools. And the conversation is organization and structure, right? He started before we started this district model saying, hey, Tim was like, hey, we're going to launch you and then you're going to become your own 501c3 above the board. And we're not currently doing that. So it's like, okay, how do we do this? What do we do? And I looked at Chuck and probably said this a little differently here than I did on the phone with him, but said, either way, no matter what, I want you to network the business community and put either an advisory board together if you stay under Tim or, you know, whatever that looks like, we need those 3 to 5 to 7 business people in Somerset, in those three counties, because if something happens to you, I don't know anybody there. I don't know anybody in those three counties to help keep those three counties, 13 schools going.
Good.
But if you've got a local advisory board sitting there who's you're consulting with, using influence, raising some funds, getting in the schools, navigating, but then carrying it on as well, post Chuck, because Chuck, he's a retired, he doesn't need to do it. He just has a burden for it. You can hear it in his heart. You can hear it in his voice.
Yeah.
But he's also like, hey, I got this going, but I'm going to pass this on.
Yeah.
Like, well, let's get this business network going as well. So that when you pass it on, there is a foundation for the next person to stand on and continue the movement in those 13 schools.
It's good.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause we can only do so much, right?
Correct.
I don't live in your community. I don't live where you live. I don't know any of those people. I'd have to start over. And if you're doing a full-time job as a staff member, I'd have to come do a full-time job in your community to do the same thing you're doing, right? And we can't do that. But if you've got a group of business people, community leaders have longevity that can keep that movement going. The gospel will continue for generations if those business people maintain that.
Well, as we land the plane, I want to suggest maybe a little bit of a left turn from what you and I had talked about earlier. And that is, we are experiencing and really have experienced in the last 15 years of walking through this.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't take the time to build the business leader network and to put oversight in place, and you are a little bit of a free ranger, lone ranger, what we've experienced over our time around this is that tenure will not happen. Longevity will not happen. So here's what happens. Kids, you get a group of kids that are really excited and they do a club and they launch and kids come to Christ and there's really cool things, right? And then 18 to 24 months, it goes away because the main figure is not Jesus uniting the local church, John 17, right? Father, make them one like we're one so the world will know you.
Yep.
The main figure is actually you as a personality. Your personality helped those kids launch that club. Your personality helped that group of freshmen go through their senior year.
Yeah.
And then your personality transforms out of there.
Yep.
And guess what goes away? The movement.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so as we begin to land a plane, I think one of the things that we would love to say to you is this essential network can't be bypassed.
Cannot.
It's why it's essential.
Yep.
It's one of those things that it's hard to go to somebody and say, will you help me?
Yep.
Everybody wants to just say, I got it on my own. But the reality is if you go to someone who is used to mentoring people, mm-hmm. you say, will you help me? They yep. say, yeah, that's the words I want to hear.
Yep.
Not, can I help you?
Yep.
Hey, will you help me with this? I want to organize people so that in 10 years, it's not this freshman class.
Yep.
It's their youngest sibling.
Yep.
That is starting first priority still.
Yep.
Right. And so again, where I think it's appropriate to land a plane is if you don't do this, then what we have is what Brad and I deal with on a fairly regular basis. And you and Mark more than me, but mm-hmm. I get the calls too mm-hmm. about, or places that say, hey, I'm no longer going to be in this space.
Yep.
And there are 17 clubs.
Yep.
And there's no organization behind it. And there's no community behind it.
Yep.
I was the reason behind it.
Yep.
And now what?
Yeah.
And often we lose them.
Yeah.
Because we didn't do the hard work on the front end, because it was easier to do clubs and feel that than yep. it was to build organization.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that goes to, you know, what Larry talks about when he got new staff training as well. People give to a cause
yep.
and they give to a person.
Yep.
And oftentimes that person is the thing, right? And the celebrity's the not right word,
nope.
but it rises and falls on that person.
Yep.
But when you ask people to, will you help me? Yep. They're going to, well, help you do what, right? Yep. It's going to be their question back.
Yep.
It's to maintain these 13 or 30 or 130
yep.
clubs,
yep.
right? To network the church, raise the money, network the church, and launch these clubs, whatever that number is, right? So you've got a number of clubs you want to, schools you want to reach, mm-hmm. and a dollar figure that it's going to take to get there. And to make sure this lasts longer than me. Those yep. are the really three things you're asking an advisory board or business people to do.
Exactly right.
Maintain the movement, raise the funds to do that, do so, and to make sure it outlasts me as a director or coordinator, coach, whatever role that I play, because it's not about us, ultimately.
Yeah, and they understand. They understand that the outcome base of this is students that walk out with the ability to look someone in the eye. Well, there's no better cashier or server mm-hmm. than the one that can look you in the eye and say, how you doing today?
Yeah.
Right? That's the one I'm going to tip 20 plus percent.
Mm-hmm.
Not the one that's got their head down, has never learned any skills whatsoever, right?
Yeah.
It's not that I dislike them. They're just not engaged with the conversation over my lunch,
yep.
which is important to me.
It is.
Right? And so they understand the fact that they'll have ethics and morality, which means money isn't going to leave the register. Mm-hmm. Like all of the outcomes of having a transformed life in Christ are going to be things that they see. And so again, they don't want just the 4 years of that freshman class.
Mm-hmm.
They want 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
They want three generations of 6 years, 18 years, right? They
yep.
they want that because it causes their business to have better partners in their business, not just employees, but better managers, the person who may buy the business from them someday,
yep.
right? And yep. all of those things, they understand that long view of it, right?
Yep.
And so that's right. that's why longevity matters to them.
It does. It matters to us.
It does.
It matters to us. There are students coming to know Jesus today in school because the business community got behind it. So
huge.
It's awesome. It's awesome.
Central Networks, man.
I'm excited to get a couple people on here this month and chat.
It's going to be good.
Joseph.
It's going to be funny. It's going to be good. Don't want to oversell it.
That's
hang
right.
on.
Hang on. I'm excited. Cool. Well, thanks for a good conversation, Steve.
Yeah, another podcast,
Look
man.
Look forward.
Thanks for joining us. Don't forget to like and share on your favorite podcast platform. Give us a 5-star review if there's such, and we'll see you or talk on your radio while you're driving the car. We'll see you next week.
Sounds good.
Later.